Front Porch Radio presents Circle Unbroken with Taft Ayers.
Welcome back to another episode of Circle Unbroken. We are thankful that you're here. And if you've been listening to us for a year, if you've been with us for a long time, or if you're finding us for the first time, you know that our goal is always to say, A, welcome. We're glad you're here. But B, we hope that you grow wherever it is that you're planted. So as we start today's show and today's episode, depending on if you, we call it a show, if you're finding us on terrestrial, right? Like if you're tuned in or streaming on 101.7 WKOM, or if you're finding us in the podcast world, we say, welcome to this episode. So whichever one that might be, you're here, Circle Unbroken, as previously mentioned. I'm your host, Taft Ayers, and we have a repeat guest with us today, one who came back. He's been with us before, but he came back today, and he didn't come kicking and screaming. So it's good. Josh Crane, welcome back, brother.
What's up, man?
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here, dude.
You hit a little traffic this morning?
Yeah, you know, 8:40 was nuts, but what are you going to do?
When I said, shoot me your ETA, and I had a guy locally who hit me up, and he said, do you have any time this morning? I said, actually, I'm getting an ETA from a guy, and he had just dropped his kids off at school. And I said, so, hey, I think we got to about 8:30. And then when you texted me again, and I said, hey, how you doing? How you looking? And then you said, stuck in a little traffic. I went, oh, man, I hope this doesn't affect his mood. Because for me,
yeah,
oh, dude, I get in the worst spots.
Well, it affects my mood at the time.
But you came in happy.
Yeah, it's all good.
You also came in, I'm going to paint this picture for our audience here who can't see us. You also came in with no beard.
Yep.
All right. You took it off?
Took it off.
And now was there design or intention there?
Yeah, so I've had a beard, man, as long as you and I have been doing stuff together, which dates back at least 2019,
gracious,
maybe 2018, right, 2019. Right. I've always had a beard.
Right.
But no, man, recently I joined the Tennessee State Guard as just a way to find another avenue that I can give back and I can do something, you know, to be productive. And, you know, it's under the Department of the Military with Tennessee. And so you're held to the same standards as regular Army, at least to some degree.
Yeah.
And no facial hair. At least no beard. Not the way I wore one. Right. No Viking beard.
Right. Yeah. Something that needed a little bit of attention.
Right.
So let's catch everybody up on this. You joined the Guard at what age?
48.
Okay. And you were called to do it, led to do it, motivated to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I like to give back.
Sure.
Right. And as you know, one of my big passions is just being prepared. And I think you always need to find ways that will push you personally. And there's another lawyer that I know who was already in the State Guard, and he kind of knew my personality a little bit just from court. And he had talked to me about it a couple of years ago and said, man, I think this would be something that would be right up your alley. And I looked at it initially. It kind of fell by the wayside. And then I just revisited it and started talking to somebody, and I was like, you know, I'll give it a try.
Right.
Let's go.
So how did this land? Now, to catch everybody up, you do a lot of things. That's just fair to say. Okay.
Yeah.
From the courtroom to training seminars to preparation to the time you spend with jiu-jitsu. Like, oh, I mean, you're busy with everything you do. And so you got three beautiful kids, a lovely wife, and you tell them, Daddy's going to join. I mean, like, how is that met? Do they say, here he goes?
Well, but you got to understand, man, it would be one thing if I was a different personality and I went to my wife and I said, hey, I want to join the State Guard. But because of who I am, mm-hmm. like, my wife is just like, yeah, no, I get it.
Right.
No big surprise there.
That we're turning the page. This is our chapter.
Yeah.
What does it require of you?
Honestly, really not that much.
Okay.
I mean, okay, so I dedicate basically one weekend a month. It's an all-volunteer force. It's unpaid, mm-hmm. okay? The State Guard is a force multiplier for the National Guard. So the way that, and I'm not the best person to explain this, okay, because I'm still new to it, but the best way to think about it is we answer directly to the governor. All right. That's as high as our command structure goes. But for example, when the floods came and you had Waverly that was really impacted, the State Guard can mobilize faster and to a lot of degrees more efficiently than your National Guard can. So we've got boots on the ground very, very quickly manning what are called points of distribution. So we do a lot of FEMA type training. So, you know, when you have a when you have a station in Waverly or somewhere else where we're handing out clean water, you know, we've got a search and rescue component. We just did a training exercise last month at Cedars of Lebanon that was primarily focused on our search and rescue component. So we can deploy to those types of things very quickly. So what happens is whenever you join, you have an MOS, a job, right? And you can kind of choose what you want to do. The natural thing for me to do, which everyone thought was, well, we'll put you in the JAG Corps because you're a lawyer. And I said, no, I already practice law. I don't want to do that anymore. I barely want to do it professionally already.
Okay? Right.
And so what I did is I'm part of what's called the 2nd Battalion or the 2nd Regiment. I'm sorry, 4th Battalion. And I'm in a military police component. So my job in the long run will be force protection. So if our search and rescue component is deployed and you have to have people that are there providing security, like that's part of my job. So I go one weekend a month. We've got additional trainings that we'll do all across the state. That's it, man.
Wow. And so you do that. You tell the family you're doing it. They say, because they know you, they say, okay, this is what Dad's doing, right?
Right.
So that takes place. That happens. This is another component or tool, if you will, to what you do. And what I want to use today is giving somebody the background, the DNA of who you are and what you do, how you do it, so to speak, and then say this. That requires you to look and say, the role of this is being prepared when disaster hits, right, when something takes place. As a volunteer, I'm giving up my time, which for you, all of us, some people realize that, some people don't. Time is money. Right. You know, with how you bill, how you're made, what you do.
Right.
And so I am giving this up so that I can do this. Another person that you know said, I'm a part of this, and this is why this would fit your passion and who you are. And because of that passion that you have, you also have a company for some of our audience that might not know this, which is your last name,
right?
Crane Defense Solutions.
That's right.
And one of your things that I have seen on hats and merch and all this other stuff is, I'll probably get it wrong, but towards the fight.
Toward the fight.
Okay, toward the fight. That is something that you talk about. That's part of your DNA.
Yes.
Okay. So those have to go hand in hand here, right?
Right.
don't just put it on a t-shirt.
Right.
But go towards it. So is that a phrase that motivates you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, toward the fight to me encapsulates the mentality that I believe men are supposed to have. And I don't care if you're like me, right? I mean, you're a lawyer professionally. You're doing jujitsu, you're doing firearms work. You know, I don't care if it's that, or if you're the banker who, like, I work at the bank and I do my kids' t-ball games.
Right.
Like, that's, I don't care, man. I don't care where you fall on the spectrum. If the chromosomes in your body make you a man, my position is you need to train and you need to be prepared to go toward the fight. Because who else is going to do that?
Right. Put the women and children to bed.
Exactly.
So let's speak into that, because one of the things that I really wanted us to launch into today, to catch our audience up, when Josh and I were talking, I said, hey, here are some ideas of a myriad of things that we can talk about. And in typical Josh fashion, he said, all right, here's the numbers. These are the ones that would be good to talk about. Just letting you know, Taff, we need a longer form to really get into these things. But one of them is something that you directly inspired for me. And I want to read it off to our audience. This is a descriptor of something that I had asked Josh. And I wanted to ask him this because there was a moment when we were eating. And, you know, as this goes all the time, people will say things to you that stick with you. And there's a question that Josh asked me. And I'll tell you that question here in a moment. But Josh talks a lot about men needing to be assets. And so the title, people that found us on Podcast World, the title of today's episode and show will be, Can You Carry Your Wife? And yeah. Some people may look at that and say, what? but this is the descriptor of today's episode. Men need to be assets. That is a fact, not useless. This question is a sobering question. When you look at someone and say, can you carry your wife? It has nothing to do with her weight. And so when you hear this, men out there listening, or women, can he really carry me? I'm not in my game shape right now. I don't look that. That's not just what we're talking about. But it's all about how fit a man is to lead his family. Ask yourself this today, men. Are you strong? Are you resourceful? When you hear strong, don't just think about a gym. When you're resourceful, don't just think about being a doomsday prepper, but are you strong and are you resourceful? Do you have a plan? And then we put this, if not, good luck in times of stress. And let's be real, luck is the last thing that your family needs to rely on.
Yeah, hope is not a strategy.
Correct. And I will tell my wife all the time, I will say, I'm figuring it out. And she has a trust in that. But I can't tell the bank I'm figuring it out.
Right.
I can't tell people that depend on me all the time I'm figuring it out. Yeah, they want to know that you're confident. But when it comes to your family, hey, what are we going to do when everything hits the fan? Well, I'm figuring it out. Well, it needs to be figured out. So that, what is that? Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Like doing that. And so let's jump into that question that you asked me, okay? When you said, I want you to think about this. I have a gun. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
The question is, how quick can you get to it? What will you do with it? You know, that type of thing. Can you carry your wife? The question was posed because if something happened. So walk our audience through the genesis of that question.
Yeah. So you got to understand, it's like you just said, man, when I asked the question, can you carry your wife? I'm not asking you about your physical ability only. Okay. I mean, that's a legit question. Like, can you? Can you do that? But that question in particular is really, really more important. And you got to understand why I ask the way I ask it, right? Can you carry your wife? Who is the person on this planet that you have stood in front of friends, family, and God and said, that is the person who I am responsible for the rest of my life? Who is the person on this planet that the two became one? It's your wife. That is who you owe the biggest responsibility to on the face of the earth. So when I say, can you carry her? It's like, dude, are you geared up? Are you ready? When something happens, do you have the ability to protect the one person who needs you to protect him the most? And my position on that is, at least in this country, men focus a lot on, oh yeah, man, I'm good. Like I've got a good job. You know, I'm putting money in my 401k. You know, I'm paying the mortgage. The kid's school is taken care of. Okay, that's great, dude. But can you carry her? When that house is on fire, can you pick her up? When the stuff goes down at the gas station, are you prepared to stand between whatever is out there and your family? And don't just tell me, oh yeah, man, I'm good. No, you're not. Man, I've told you this before, Taft. Guys are the worst about this, okay? Guys are the worst about it. I promise you, man, if we took this show on the road and we went out here in Columbia and we just walked the streets and we walked up to random dudes and we said, hey, man, let me give you a scenario. You and your wife, girlfriend, fiance, whatever it is, y'all are walking down the street Friday night. Tonight, man, you're going to go see a movie. Some dude walks up to you and starts jawing and he's being aggressive and he grabs at your woman, right? What are you going to do? I guarantee you, man, 95% of the dudes out here are going to say, man, I throw down. Man, I see red, man. I'm going to get. And no, you won't. You know why? Because you don't train.
Mm.
You ain't ready for it.
Mm.
You think you are, but let me tell you something. As soon as it happens and about 15 seconds in, you realize you can't breathe because you're out of shape and you just got popped.
Mm. Right.
Your wife's on her own at that point, boy.
You're winded. She's on her own. You're like, I was gonna man up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. And right here for me, I always tell people I can tell if a guy's ever been punched in the face before. I can also tell if people train. Like when I look at them, when I assess them, it has nothing to do with how they just look physically, but I can tell the way somebody moves when they sit down, when they start talking about preparation and all this. And so when you pose that question of what it means to carry her, not just physically, but carry her as far as being a protector, being a provider and all these things, how have you found that most men answer that question? Are they just like you just said? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Could.
Yeah, sure. Because right. Most men think they are prepared.
Right. Right.
I mean, I don't know what I haven't done the psychological studies. I don't know why we feel that way. If it's just something that's innate in our DNA, but yeah, most men believe that they are A, taking care of their families and B, that they are prepared to handle things when things go bad. Okay. But the problem is that mentality is shaped by popular culture. It's shaped by our own image of ourselves. And the reality is we very seldom test ourselves. Mm. Okay. So you've never been tested and yet you think you're ready to go. Right. I mean, look, one of the best things I've ever done for myself, and I've said this many, many times, several years ago, it was actually in the middle of COVID. Okay. The Supreme Court put an order down. It was Friday the 13th. I'll never forget that. I was eating barbecue at Fat Guy's Barbecue in Murfreesboro. And the order came down that courts were going to be shut down because of COVID. Okay. That turned into a saga of, you know, ups and downs, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. Is my business going to survive? You know, I'm staying at home because the courtrooms are closed. There's nothing for me to do. Right. And I started running again. And I was literally running down the road one day. And it just popped in my head literally out of nowhere. I was like, I'm going to try jiu-jitsu again. I had tried it once years and years prior, had a bad experience with it. But I said, I'm going to try jiu-jitsu again. And of course, we're in the middle of COVID now. And so I start Googling, trying to find like a jiu-jitsu gym that's actually open. And I find one. And I start going. And I went day one. I still have my photographs from the first day I went. I went day one. It was not hard. There was nothing that they gave me that was like, hey, we're going to like throw you to the wolves. I couldn't breathe. Dude, I'm out there running on average. I'm running a 5K a day, right? And I get on the jiu-jitsu mats. I can't breathe. And you're like, what's going on? I don't understand this. I'm in shape. I'm ready, man, whatever. And you realize, dude, you've never been tested. And it's all different when somebody puts their hands on you. So, yeah, when you ask the average guy, are you prepared? I think the average guy says, yeah, but that's an ego answer.
Right, right. Yeah, you see that where somebody, you've heard this before, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Right.
What is the real plan? We're joined today on Circle Unbroken by Joshua Crane. And the title, if you're just now joining us, of today's episode is this, Can You Carry Your Wife? And we're fixing to go to break. And as we do, I want you, if you're a man listening to this, I want you to really think about your answer. Your answer from a frontal answer, like what you say at the beginning, maybe your perceived answer, and then think about your actual reality, the actual answer. We said this in our descriptor. If you're really honest with yourselves, it can be very sobering. It's hard for me because I think about my three sons and I want them to be equipped. I want them to be ready. I want them to be protectors. And then I think about my daughter. And I shared with Josh earlier off air, I shared with him that she is just now getting into, she is touching the hem of the garment when it comes to boys in eighth grade. And I'm thankful that as she starts staring ninth grade in the face, I know that's going to become more and more of a thing. And I think about the young men that she will encounter. I think about the young men that we are praying for that will be in her life. The young men that I want my guys to be, and then also the men that I want her to be surrounded by, and then ultimately the man that she chooses. And I hope that he will be somebody that says, yes, I will carry my wife. Yes, I can carry my wife. Well, it doesn't matter what I hope for, wish for, and to a level, even pray for, if I look in the mirror and I'm not that man. If I look in the mirror and I'm not that man that says, yes, I can and I will carry my wife and be prepared. We're heading to break here. We'll be back on Circle Unbroken.
This is Coach Tre'Davious Goff from Columbia Central High School Football. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC. Parks Motor Sales was founded by my granddad, Bobby Parks, and my great-granddad, Julian Mays, in 1958. We've been family-owned the whole time, and being family-owned, locally-owned, means you get to get your next vehicle or your existing vehicle serviced by the same people who stand in the grocery line with you, drop their kids off at the same school you do, and smile and are happy to see you when they do. So come see us at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee on 919 Nashville Highway or parksmotorsales.com.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people, the place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship, beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia, owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist, assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
Hey, this is Tripp Stoltz, owner of Columbia Ace Hardware. Spring is here, and we are excited to announce that we have completely remodeled our store. We have expanded our selection in many brands, including Milwaukee, Steel, and Big Green Egg. We have new inventory arriving daily, so come see the changes for yourself at 112 East James Campbell Boulevard, Columbia, Tennessee.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Tripp Stoltz with Columbia Ace Hardware. I love listening to 101.7 WKOM FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
Back on Circle Unbroken. Thanks for staying with us. Our special guest today is Josh Crane. Josh, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, man.
We are excited about this topic. If you're just now catching up, what we did in our first session today was we spent the whole session talking about the question, men, can you carry your wife? Can you carry her if something happened in the home, in the middle of the night, if a fire came to your home, if destruction came to your home, if something medical happened to your wife and she was lifeless, if she went limp to the point where you had to literally pick her up and carry her? Let's think about this from a physical standpoint. Number one, could you? Number two, would you know what to do if you physically got a hold of her? And we're just using this because this is the person, as Josh mentioned, this is the person that you have made a promise before God and others to protect no matter what. Once you carried her, what would you do? What could you do? What would be the plan? Then if you start to think about this outside of just physical, okay, if you looked at this and you said not just physically, how could you carry your wife from an emotional sense, from a sense of being prepared in your life? And so we're going to talk about that today. Josh Crane, welcome back. Let's get into this. We asked the question and we said this: most men would not say, no, I can't do that. Most men would say yes.
Right. Because we don't like to admit
Yeah.
Our failures.
Correct.
Yeah.
The reality is that they would look like what?
They'd look like garbage.
They would look like garbage. They would be winded, right?
Yeah. And listen, man, it's like, look, you just said something I think is really important, and it really hits on the underlying purpose behind this whole conversation. Mm-hmm. This is not just a physical thing. I'm not saying, hey, guys, go join the gym and get strong, right?
Right.
But think about this. If you're at home tonight and your wife gets out of the shower and, you know, everybody's getting ready for bed and the day's winding down and your wife says, you know, I don't feel real good. Mm. And, you know, within 30 minutes, your wife passes out, hits the floor, and she's not breathing and you can't find a pulse. Do you know CPR? Mm. Mm. Do you have an AED in your house? Oh, no, I mean, that's just for hospitals, right? Do you know how to do rescue breaths? Have you ever practiced that? Because if the answer to that is no, you ain't prepared, man. Mm-mm. You ain't prepared. That's carrying your wife.
Yes.
And what are you going to do? Here's what's going to happen, brother. You're going to panic. Then your kids are going to panic. Somebody's going to finally get on the phone and call 911 because that at least has been drilled into you since you were a kid.
Correct.
And you're going to get on the phone. And you're going to be like, this is my address and my wife's not breathing. And some dispatcher is going to try to walk you through CPR until somebody else can get there and do what you should be able to do from the get-go. Mm. Mm.
Pick up your mantle.
Yeah.
Take care of those people. And I think it's funny that you said this. Somebody's eventually going to call 911 because that's what's been drilled into them. So look at this session today here as a moment for us to do the drilling. All right. For us to really come up with some things. As I was thinking about us landing on this subject, I was doing something the other night where I was mindlessly scrolling Facebook before I went to bed. And a gentleman that I know who lives right down the road posted this. And I could tell when he posted it that he wasn't selling anything. He said, "Do you guys have a thought out emergency response plan for your family for the following situations? Intruder, home invasion, medical emergency, house fire, tornado, natural disaster, stalker, stranger in pursuit." I was expecting the next sentence for him to say, "If not, call me and my company." But here's what he said. "If you have a plan in place for any of these and wouldn't mind sharing, please post in the comments or send me a DM." This was right. A dude. Kudos to him. I expected the last sentence, because I get marketed to all the time, to say, "Men, if not, do this." This was a guy saying, anybody got any ideas here?
Right.
And so I saw that as vulnerable. But also, Josh, I saw that as somebody who was shoring up.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody who was saying, "Tell me." So let's look at those ideas and say, what does Josh Crane say to that?
Yeah. First of all, I think it's awesome. Okay. Look, man, my company, and I'm not plugging my company, but I want you to understand the philosophy behind one of my companies. What we teach people was very intentional in the way that we designed it. So we started from the baseline and we said, all right, we want to teach defensive tactics. What does that mean? And that's kind of a police term. It's maybe not the best term to use, but defensive tactics is basically, all right, if I'm at Target with my daughter and somebody walks up and they're aggressive and I can tell that they're not here to do good things, okay? Can I physically handle myself with that person? All right? Let's think about this, man. Unless you're living under a rock, you understand right now that one of the biggest problems that we face worldwide is human trafficking.
Right.
All right. You want to do something sobering? Dads out there, go out this weekend with your teenage daughter, okay? Walk around the mall with her, and I will bet you a dollar to a dime that 85% of the time she'll be looking at her phone. That makes her an easy target. Okay. So defensive tactics. Can I physically handle myself? If you come try to grab my daughter, and I put my hands on you, am I going to outlast you? Am I going to control you? Am I going to be able to survive? One of my best friends on this planet, when he teaches police officers, he says, "I don't need you to win. I need you not to lose."
Wow.
I need you to hold until reinforcements get there. So number one, defensive tactics. Number two, we teach our firearm stuff. Okay. I'm a gun guy. You know that. And then number three, emergency medical. Can you perform emergency medical stuff until the cavalry arrives, right? Man, you got to have a plan for those things. And you can't just have a plan and go, all right, man, we got our plan. You have to train the plan. You got to train the plan. Right? I can sit here all day long and say, hey, man, let's talk about guns. Okay. Again, I'm a gun guy. I love guns, right? I don't go anywhere where I'm not armed. All right. But if all I do is I do a single class with you and I teach you gun safety, that's the bad end. This is the good end. Here's the trigger. If I do that and then you never pick that gun up again, you never train with it again, you never shoot and move with it, you're not ready. See, and I think that's part of the problem is we have this idea that once we have the plan, and the plan is this idea, right? Once we have it, we're good. The problem is that plan's only good until you execute it. And if you've never executed your plan before, you don't know what it feels like, what it smells like, what it sounds like. You don't know those things. And I think that's where so many of us, that's where we fall short. And listen, I haven't always been this way. You know this story. I've told this to people in the past that I've talked to. One of the great wake-up moments for me was when my family got back from a trip that we had taken to San Antonio, Texas. My son wanted to see the Alamo. It was dumb, but we drove instead of flying, okay? That's a long drive, all right? But nonetheless, we get back home from that trip, and I had made the decision to do a straight-through drive instead of stopping. We get back. My wife is at the grocery store. I'm out in the yard piddling around, and my son comes outside and says, hey, Ava's my oldest daughter. Ava's not responding to me. And, at first, I just looked at it. It was like, all right, y'all, just get along with one another. But I could tell based on his body language, like something was a little off, right? And I was like, what do you mean? He said, well, I went in her room and I said something to her and she's not responding to me. Based on the concern that I saw with him, I was like, all right, I'll at least check it. And I go upstairs. It's the eeriest thing, man. She's laying in the floor, wrapped up in a blanket with a book propped up in front of her. Cause she would sit there and read forever. Okay. And I said, Ava, and she didn't respond to me. I said, Ava, no response. So I walk over to her. And dude, if I took a picture of it, it literally would just look like she's sitting there reading a book. And I touch her and her body is completely rigid. She's having a seizure. And it's the first time I ever saw my daughter have a seizure. Okay.
She's how old?
At that point, she was probably, man, my wife would know. I would say 11, maybe 12.
Okay. Okay. Somewhere, okay. I was giving people there, just maybe a little context.
Yeah. Maybe younger than that.
Okay.
And so I go over to her and I grab her and I roll her over and her head is craned like in this very awkward position. Her eyes are rolled back in her head. Her breathing is extremely erratic and I panic, dude. Like I can't hardly tell this story now without crying. It just bothers me, you know? And my son is standing there and I'm like, call 911. And he's on the phone. And I've threatened so many times to get the audio from that 911 recording so I can hear myself and play it in my seminars. You would have heard panic. That's it, man. Panic. I did not know what to do. The 911 operator was saying, is she breathing? I'm like, I don't know. I can't tell. She's telling me if she stops breathing, you have got to start doing CPR. I don't know how.
Wow.
That is a horrible, horrible feeling to have. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling every man out there, if you think because you sit on the couch and you watch Yellowstone or your Rambo movies, and maybe you hit the gym twice a week and you pump some weights that you're ready, you are naive.
And so the dudes that are hearing this, who maybe haven't been tested, maybe they've had moments in their lives of tension, but haven't really been tested with this, we would all hate for our worst moments to be recorded.
Yeah.
I say that all the time. And when somebody gets in trouble for something unrelated to this, when somebody gets in trouble for something and it's on video, I always try to exercise grace and say to them, hey, man, I've had some really, really crappy moments and I'm thankful nobody caught it or recorded it. In this day and age, more and more is recorded and more is done. And so it's a different generation and world for us. But for you to mention that as a professional who does this stuff now and to go back and to say, hey, I know what I sounded like. I know what I sounded like on that 911 call. I know there was panic. I know there was fear. There was also this feeling of inadequacy, which are three words that I don't want. I mentioned my daughter earlier. when my daughter meets a man and she wants him to be her husband, and I say, tell me something about him. She goes, well, he panics a lot. He's fearful.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, at the end of the day, he's a pretty inadequate dude. I'm like, whoa.
Right.
Whoa. But again, being fair, as a dad, I'm sitting here saying, that's not what you want in your life.
Right.
But men, listen up. As guys, what are we giving our wife? What are we doing here in this answer? So let's strip it down, Josh. Let's strip it down during this second session here. I'm checking our time. We've got a little less than 10 before we go into another break. In my life now, you ask this question, okay? Whether or not you're representing Crane Defense Solutions or whether or not you're just a dude asking a dude like you were with me. Take the average Joe who is simply that, just a regular dude who does not have the training, thinks he's prepared, but he's not. What steps do we take? Like, what do you tell the average guy to start doing now, whatever those steps might be?
Yeah.
What's the assessment, I guess? Is that question fair?
Yeah, it's totally fair.
Because they may watch a lot of Rambo. They may love Yellowstone. They may go to the gym. Yeah, right. What do they do?
All right, so the first thing that you have to do, mm-hmm. like you have to recognize you're weak.
Okay.
That's number one. Okay, leave the ego at the door. You've got to recognize that you're weak.
Hear that, man. Okay? That's for all of us.
Yeah. And it's not a condemnation.
Sure.
Completely, okay?
Right.
It's a recognition. All right, because until you realize that you have a problem, you don't think that there's anything to fix. So recognize you're weak. Here's the next thing I say, though. If I was going to tell a group of guys anything right now, if they all came in this room and they said, hey, man, we listened to this podcast. We all got together with our, you know, our weekly meeting that we do. And we all said, you know what, man, I don't think I'm prepared. Where do I start? I go, number one, physical activity.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you, all right, man, let's go down to the gun store and let me hook you up with some guns. I'm not doing that. I'm not even saying yet, let's go do some medical classes. I mean, we need to do those. But number one, physical activity. What does that mean? Well, I don't know, man. Maybe for you, that means I'm going to start going on a walk every day. And I understand this. There is nothing about.
I appreciate you saying it like this.
Yeah, there's nothing that I profess that's it. Okay. We started this whole thing today with Josh, why are you in a state guard? Dude, you never quit. You are constantly moving toward the fight. You never reach a point. If you reach a point where you go, all right, I'm good. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. So number one, physical activity. All right. Maybe that's just you're going for a walk. But you know what? You're going to go for a walk every day until you realize, hey, man, walking's kind of easy now. I'm going to run. And then you're going to run. And then you're going to get to a point where you're just like, man, running's not doing it. And I'm going to put a rucksack on. I'm going to ruck. Okay. Now you're doing that. Now you're going, you know what? I'm going to get a couple of kettlebells. All right, you're going to keep building that base. All right. Now, while you're doing that, then you start going, what else can I do? What small things, man? Like, what else can I do? Hey, the Red Cross offers a free CPR class. I'm going to go take that. All right, good. And you just build on that. But if you're going to start anywhere, man, start with your physical health. Now, I'm not even ashamed to plug this. If dudes come to me and they say, hey, man, all right, this is my limited budget. I'm not going to build a gym at the house. Like, what one thing would you tell me to go get involved in that I will see maximum return overall for my health? I'm going to go jiu-jitsu 1,000% every day of the week.
Because it does what?
Well, in the right place. Okay. And that's key too. In the right place. It's gonna increase your cardio. It's gonna increase your ability to move. It's gonna increase your confidence when you're hands on with somebody else. The other thing, and this is why, man, this is so important. If it's a great place, one of my best friends, I was literally on the phone with this morning on the way to come meet you, and he's a jiu-jitsu guy. You find the right place, and it's a community. All right, you're gonna find other people who are trying to elevate themselves just like you are. And you're going to find a family outside of your blood. And I'm telling you, man, when you have that, like, I don't want to let you down because you're my boy. I can't be weak because you're not weak. You build each other up.
So you would say if you're looking at budget, if you're looking at you get to a point where you're walking, you're running, you're rucking, like you've done all those things, and you think, what do I do next? You would say, find the right And forgive my ignorance here. What's it called? Club, gym, group?
Yeah, they call them different things.
All different things.
Jiu-jitsu gym, jiu-jitsu academy. Yeah.
And some of the vernacular, and I just know this through social media, some of the vernacular that you all use with that is, I'm going to go roll.
Roll, yeah.
I'm going to do that. And then y'all saw something y'all did that was really interesting. Y'all did it one time in your street clothes, suits.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was, let's be practical.
Yeah, let's be practical. Right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in my, is it called gi?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in that when I'm on the street, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jiu-jitsu has gi and no gi.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
So yeah, sometimes what we do is we train, we literally put on street clothes. And for me, it was a suit and a tie because that's what, I mean, when I'm in court, that's what I'm wearing. Right.
Right. Right.
And I mean, I got choked with my tie. My best friend's laughing while he's choking me with my tie.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I know what it feels like now.
That would be great as we cut up this show to do a teaser at the beginning. My best friend's laughing because he's choking with my tie. But I know what it feels like now on Circle Unbroken. Yeah. They'd be like, what is this episode about? So doing that, okay. You get involved with that in a rhythm. I had a guy that we both know who told me straight up, he said, jiu-jitsu saved my life.
Absolutely.
And he didn't just mean on the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he meant from a mental space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And so you do that. What about your home? Your home as far as the domain goes. And we've got 2 minutes before break here, so we may need to come back into that. But what are some assessment tools that dudes can use to say, okay, how do I protect this place?
Yeah. I think that really spans a kind of a wider variety, right? Because I think, you know, fire, okay, there's actually a massive amount of fire loss that happens in this country every year. I think one of the very easy things to do is like, how many fire extinguishers do you have at your house? And I think you'd be very surprised. A lot of answers to that is going to be none, which is insane. Okay. Mm-hmm. So fire is one. Escape routes. What are your escape routes? You know, how do you get out? When we start talking about the house then, and we start talking about intrusion as opposed to fire, flood, those types of things, that's when I'm going to then breach into the conversations about weapons. And I think that's an important conversation to have. Mm. I don't think it's something to be scared of. I think it's something to embrace.
Right, right. Oh, I'm totally with you there. We'll be back today on Circle Unbroken. We are joined by Josh Crane. One of the things that Josh does, of many things, is his company, Crane Defense Solutions. But he is here today to talk about a very simple yet profound question. Can you carry your wife? We will be back on Circle Unbroken.
I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. We have advertised with WKRM and WKOM for the past several years and found it to be very successful. I highly recommend advertising with them if you have a local business like ours. We're located at 1608 Hatcher Lane here in Columbia. We're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6 and Saturdays from 8 to 2. Stop by Holland's for all your prescription needs where we have fast, friendly, courteous service. We custom fit support hose for you also. Thanks for supporting Holland's and WKRM and WKOM.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Elk Kennedy. The old saying is, happy wife, happy life, couldn't be more true. Many years ago, my wife, Mary Susan, had major surgery on her back, but continued with chronic pain. Doctors were saying invalid, disabled. But then she found the Dr. Gill Center for Back, Neck, and Chronic Pain in Franklin, Tennessee. It has changed our lives. We visited there recently with Dr. Wendy Tuohy, saw the state-of-the-art facilities. Folks, don't take a pill. Call Dr. Gill.
Go to callmepainfree.com. Hi, I'm Matt Perales, manager of Maury County Equipment. We help you with all your agriculture and construction equipment needs. We carry a full line of New Holland tractors from compacts to high horsepower. We have a full line of Gravely mowing equipment. We also have New Holland construction equipment, attachments, and accessories for your tractors and a complete parts department. We are locally owned and operated. Come see us at 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard or learn about us on Facebook or contact us at 931-490-8183.
Welcome back to Circle Unbroken. I'm your host, Taft Ayers, and we've got our special guest today. I say this when people come back sometimes, a repeat offender. That's not something that you want to hear. But Josh Crane, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, man.
All right. So what we're doing today, if you're just now jumping into the water with us, talking about the concept, the question, can you carry your wife? And what we have talked about is how a man can protect, how a man can physically lift his wife if she was to go lifeless, limp, in the middle of the night or any time during the day, if there was an emergency at the home. And we talked about how, as a man, you can be better prepared, how, as a man, you can be ready. And one of the things that we talked about in our last session was I asked Josh this, how do most men respond? And he said, well, of course, the man normally says, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I'm ready. But then when you're actually in the fight, you may find yourself winded, unprepared, nervous, scared, panicked, inadequate, all those things that we talked about. But then, men, here's what we want to conclude with today. I asked Josh for regular old steps. Like, what do I do? And he said this. He said, number one, get active. If you're not active, get active. Walk, run. Ruck. Those of you that don't know what that means, if you put a ruck on, and I've learned this, you put something weighted, a weighted vest or backpack on your body and you move. Then you get into what thing Josh recommended was jiu-jitsu, doing something like that or that specifically that helps you have hands-on contact, real-life contact. And one of the things I thought about was our family out of Texas. Our family out of Texas went to this church. They got national news about a shooting there. And one of the men was a marksman. He was good. But because he had never trained in his Sunday coat and he had an untucked shirt with a coat, when he went to draw, he was just too slow because he hadn't moved before like that, hadn't trained like that before. And so we're going to finish up today's episode in this final session here with a push for men to really think about the importance of this, to not beat yourself up. One of the things that Josh mentioned earlier is that one of the guys in their training from the police force said this, you don't have to win the fight. I just need you to not lose it, to last long enough so that backup, reinforcement, and all those things can come. And so let's talk about that, Josh, not losing the fight, holding your own, doing what you got to do so that the medical professional can get there.
Right.
Doing what you can do so that it's not complete disarray. Hold it, rig it. I mean, we say that when we talk about house repair, but do what you can so that we can get to this spot.
Right.
Let's talk about that for men.
Yeah. Well, and I think all that really, I think to kind of encapsulate all of this, what you have to do is you've got to start to change your mindset.
Okay.
Okay. I think men, but you know, women too, a lot of people, especially in this country, we have a mindset that certain responsibilities belong to somebody else. And even though we don't articulate this out loud, this is what we believe. We Right. believe a lot of times that my safety is actually somebody else's job. Mm. That's why I've got 911. That's why the police are here. That's why the EMTs are around. Okay. My care, my safety is somebody else's job. And the reality is you are your own first responder, period. So I think you first have to change the mindset. And I think that's so important because once you begin to change your mindset, you view the world differently.
Right.
Right. Now, I'll be honest with you. Is it going to aggravate people? Yeah, it will. All right. My kids, they get aggravated at me sometimes because dad has a certain approach to certain things.
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to get into the details and the specifics, but I'll just give you an idea. Okay. My son, which is my oldest child, my son's going to be going on a mission trip in July, and he's going to be going to a foreign country. And again, no condemnation to other people. I think a lot of people are going to be on that trip and others that are just like it. And they're like, oh, this is going to be great. Our kid's going to go and do some mission work and it's going to be wonderful. And I have all those same thoughts too. But I'll tell you this, over the past week, I've been having phone calls with certain individuals, and we're developing an extraction plan for my son. And you go, why in the world would you do that? It's because I don't know what's going to happen in that country.
Right, right.
But if something does happen, I don't want to sit here and go, well, I never thought about that. My mind never went there. I have to change the way that I view things. And once you change that mindset, then you begin to say, okay, let me try to prepare for it. Are you ever going to be as prepared as you need to be? Not necessarily, no. But you can be more prepared than nothing, right?
Right, right. Well, you've told me you've gone places before, and you've showed up at Dollywood or Disney World or someplace like that, and you met a guy there right. who he was in charge, right? It was security guard.
Yeah, yeah.
And you talked to him about what he had.
That's right.
And most people go there to enjoy it and to be dumb and ignorant. Like, let's just go there and take all my money and I'm just going to have a good time and not even think about it. Well, you go there, and the way that you're built is you go there, you see that, you ask him what he has so that you can enjoy it, right?
It's, that's right.
There's a concept to this.
Yeah. It's not just blind. It's
right.
I mean, here's the thing, right? If I go, you know, that particular occasion, we were up in Cincinnati. And, okay, so, I mean, let's just be real about it. I mean, when you go into the Cincinnati Zoo,
right.
Okay, which is a nice zoo, by the way. But when you go in the Cincinnati Zoo, Josh doesn't get to carry his gun, and I carry a gun everywhere. I don't get to carry certain other things that I carry every time I leave the house, all right? So now I know I'm walking into an environment where you're taking away some of my ability to protect and take care of myself and my family. So, yeah, when I walk in there and I see the security guy standing over, yeah, he's my first stop. And I go talk to him. I took a picture with him. He's a super nice guy. But I go and I talk to him. I say, hey, man, what do you carry in your medical pack? Oh, man, I carry this, this, and this. And I said, okay. And, like, how do you move around in the zoo? Well, we've got bikes, and then we've got these, like, golf carts over here. And I'm like, all right, cool. Nice to meet you, man. But now if something goes down in that zoo, I at least know where the tourniquets are, where right. the chest seals are. I know where some type of mobility is, you know, because the mindset is different.
Yeah. And to look at that and to say, okay, here's an extraction plan. Here's something to be ready. Here's to do this so that I can actually be present.
Right.
That's what I want.
And think about it like this. If you were to go interview people who have been involved in recent mass casualty situations, shootings, stabbings, you know, whatever. Go interview those people. How many of those people do you think are going to tell you, well, yeah, we kind of figured that today would be the day when we showed up at Mall X that the active shooter was going to be there. Nobody thinks that. They all show up thinking today that's not going to happen. That's the default. It's not going to happen. And statistically, it's not.
Right. Right.
The problem is, what if it does?
Oh, boy.
Right. Now you have zero plan, zero strategy, and zero training.
So can a man who's listening to this show, and we're unapologetic about this, and the world we live in, you know, here in 2024, so you say women need to be, yes, there's all kinds of things for what women need to do, but we're dudes and we're talking to it from a dude perspective. Okay. Some of the toughest ladies I've met are packing heat in their purse, right? Like, they're ready. Whole other subject for a whole other day.
Right.
This show today is the question, men, can you carry her? Like, can you carry her and think about it physically, but think about it in what you promised to do. You promised, hey, I love you. I'm committed to you. And you said, essentially, I will carry you.
Right.
I will carry you through richer, poorer, tough times, danger, safety, like all the different things. And so, men, you have to ask this question. And Josh, this is our last question of today, 2 minutes before we end. Time flies when you're rolling. Can a man be too prepared?
No.
Hands down.
No, hands down. It can't be too prepared. Let me tell you this. You hit on this a second ago. In today's society, guys, listen to me. You have got to get away from this idea that being masculine is a problem, that being a man is a problem. You are not your wife. You don't need to dress like her, talk like her, walk like her, think like her. You need to be a man. Okay? And that's not to diminish women. That's to elevate them.
Right.
Be a man.
Right. Celebrate the fact that we're different. Celebrate the fact that I don't give birth. Celebrate the fact that I'm rough around the edges. And also celebrate this, the fact that God, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, there was going to be toil. There's going to be work. It's going to be pain.
Yeah.
And those are the things that I have to move through as a dude.
That's right. And so when we ask the question, can you carry your wife? Here's, I mean, and this is just Josh Crane talking. Amen. All right. No, don't ascribe this to anybody else. I want my wife to know that if something goes down, I'm not hitting some dude with my purse. Mm. All right. I'm taking care of her because right. I choose to accept the responsibility that comes with being a man.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you have heard on today's episode of Circle Unbroken, this goes right in with our DNA of being present, of being the person that you need to be at all times. And this is a call to men today. While today's episode has not been a commercial, this has just been Taft and Josh talking back and forth as brothers and friends do, I would be remiss if I did not leave them with this. Josh, your company, one of your companies, is called Crane Defense Solutions. There's a website for that?
There is.
All right. Tell them what that is.
It's CraneDefenseSolutions.com. We're on Facebook. And we're more of a boutique.
Sure.
You know, we're not right. a big company.
Right.
Four total guys that run this thing. So if you want to get in touch with us, I mean, you can. The easiest way to do it is through social media.
Sure. Just look it up. And y'all, that's Crane, C-R-A-I-N.
Yeah. And look, man, I want to say this, and I appreciate the plug.
Sure.
But, man, I ain't here to sell my wares.
No.
I don't care if anybody calls me from this or not.
Right.
What I care about is I would love to come back in a month, 2 months, 3 months down the road, and you have some guy in here that says, hey, man, I listened to that episode, and you know what? I started going to the gym. I started walking. I started running. And man, my life is so much better now and I feel better.
Right. Well, and that's why I want it on there is I don't want somebody to hear this and think now what? Because I know you as a dude and you're the type, if somebody called you or reached out to you, what would happen immediately is you would say, what's the problem? What do we have to do? And so that's how cool it is that that's outside of your business. It's where do you work? What do you do? What's the issue? What's your fear? We can handle it. That's what brotherhood is. And that's what we have to be more of. We are out of time today on Circle Unbroken. Josh, thanks for being here with us, man.
Yeah, man.
Men, can you carry your wife? Be honest and then get on it.
This is Jim Ross, and you are listening to Front Porch Radio, WKOM 101.7, located in Columbia, Tennessee.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Hey, this is Derek Ransom with 10 Pin Alley, voted number one family entertainment center in Murray County. We offer 32 bowling lanes, giant arcade, laser tag, bumper cars, and a full cafe and bar menu. We also specialize in group events, kids and adult birthday parties, company parties, sports team parties, and holiday parties. We're located at 322 East James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia. Call us today at 931-381-BOWL or visit us at 10pin.com. 10 Pin Alley, it's where the good times roll.
In today's uncertain world, you can never be too careful about your family's financial future. That's why the Parker Group, a part of Baird's Private Wealth Management, is offering a free second opinion on your financial plans. Let us review your current plan, and we will identify any gaps and offer suggestions to improve it. Please call the Parker Group at 931-548-3737. That's 931-548-3737. Robert W. Baird & Company Incorporated does not offer tax or legal advice.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I want to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.